So the river will flow in Zion, and that flow of the river, you see, there's a city, there's a river that makes glad the city of God, the tabernacles of the Most High. So that river, you know, it's in Eden, there was a river that was flowing, four heads. So as that river is flowing, it's bringing life. When the river stopped flowing, Adam died, his soul became a wilderness. But when the river starts flowing again, our soul will be like a water girl. So this part of manna speaks of the restoration of the river of God, that nourishment of the soul from God. That is the principle, what he's saying. And there's another river. He said, out of the belly of those that believe will flow rivers. I say, this spake he of the Spirit, which those who believe should receive. You know, so that's the right scripture and that we're looking at. So we've looked at that's Psalm 46. We've talked about Revelation 22. John 7:7, Jesus said, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If you eat it, you will not hunger again. Okay, so that is that. Let's go to the second one, the tables of the covenant. Now again, this is the tables of the covenant. All right, so what does it represent? What does it say? Now the table was a physical temple. Was a table that was written, and in it were written the laws. You know, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Now that thing was an order, and we already spoke of the order, nomos. Okay, we talked about that earlier today, is it not? We talked about nomos, God's order. We talked about God's order. God's order that's being put in the soul. Are you somewhere? Okay, yes. Okay. So that is the order. And God put his order down. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt know so and so and so. It was written on the table. Okay? So now, this one, God says, I will now make a new covenant. I will put my law in the inward part. Again, what is he addressing? Mind. So the pot of manna is talking about the mind. The tables of the covenant is speaking about what? The mind. So he said, I will put my law, my ways, my custom, my personality. That is, light is going to be in. He said, I will write it. That word write is engrafo. That is to take. You take something and you begin to inscribe. You drill it. I mean, and when you inscribe, it cannot be cleaned. You understand? How does God inscribe something? God passes it through experiences. That experience you can never forget. You understand? That is how God writes upon the heart. So every day you are going through experiences, and God is inscribing, writing. You know, writing, putting experiences. You know, now there are ways that spirits also engraft themselves into the soul of man. When a spirit comes in, it begins to build in. All right, and it takes time to build and maximize. And as it's building, it's bringing more spirits that have the same nature, you know, and all that. But the opposite happens where the life of God comes into the soul and begins to say, I will write my law in the inward parts. So this speaks of the revelation of Christ into the soul. The ways of God, the ways of Christ are inscribed and built into the nature of the soul. Sorry, let me see. And the scripture for that you find in Jeremiah 31:31. Hebrews 8:8, and then Hebrews chapter 10:10 says, I will make a new covenant, I will put it in your mind. In the Old Testament, you see it in Exodus 31, you know, verse 18, and Exodus 31, Exodus 34, talk about the old covenant. And by the way, when Moses got the old covenant, he had to go up to the mountain. God called him out. He said, you must come to the mountain. 40 days in fast. And then God began to reveal himself to him. So it wasn't just a casual experience. It was a time of seeking God. You know. So to receive this covenant, you must make out time. There must be a commitment to seek God. Like we are doing now. You know, take time out, seek God. As you begin to seek God, God begins to reveal himself to you. And then begins to break the covenant unto you. Paul prayed about that the eyes of the understanding might be enlightened. You know, so as the enlightenment of the soul comes, then there is a revelation of Christ. Even Jesus Christ had the revelation of Jesus Christ. He went to the temple, and as he was talking with them, the revelation of Christ was coming to him. So he said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave to Jesus Christ. You know, so as we get on, there are many things that will begin to unfold, and we'll begin to see that which we have not seen in terms of, you know, receiving and working with God. Yes. The last aspect is the rod, Aaron's rod that budded. Okay, and it is that speaks of the ministry of the soul, the priesthood of the soul. That is life overcoming darkness. The deadness of the stick was dead, you know, but as he stayed in the presence of God through the night, life began to come forth, you know. So I don't know how, what time, like, you know, the tree began to bud. What happened was, after some time, it began to break through. I don't believe it was just instantaneous. You know, that tree began to receive life, began to bring forth life, and by morning it was full of blossoms. So that is the process of the restoration of life in this tree. The soul has been dead, lifeless, not bringing forth life at all. But we are coming to that time when, out of this dead realm of the soul, life will begin to come forth. You know, so it speaks of victory over darkness. Again, it begins in the soul. It begins in the mind. The mind has been dark, has been imprisoned, and is shown by a man called Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? His mind, his thoughts were taken away from him. The heart of a beast was given to him. And he says, it was like, you know, they saw him. He said, there will be, you are that mighty tree, they will cut you off. Okay? The stump was on the ground, but every other thing was gone. But he said that after 7 seasons, life began to come back again to it, and God restored, said, my reasoning, my mind returned back to me. Now, some of the things the Bible is saying, that is what it's addressing. You see, man has been here on earth not knowing his purpose in God. Okay, but that is the season of death, the season of wandering. But now is coming a time when that reasoning from God is coming back. You know, man will begin to understand the reason for his coming, and as that begins to come, we will realize that we came from God, and we will begin to realize our purpose and our calling in God, and that understanding, that hunger, that estate of the sons of God, of a man being joined to God, being God's temple, and all those things will increasingly begin to come, and the true man is going to rise on the earth. That's the man that is not carnal, a man that is in fellowship with God. Adam walked in the garden and his heart was in the heavens. He was receiving life from God, he was hearing from God, walking with God on the earth. That was a man on this earth. And that is about to happen again. So that's what this rod is saying. That, yes, there was a contest. So people said, look, are you the only priest? We too can be. Alright, so, and that's what the devil said, look, I'm going to be Christ. I'm going to contend. I'm going to do this. And out of that, God is going to bring forth the people. You know, that out of the deadness of man's soul will come forth true worship and so on. You know, so I think we will just stop at that point. I think some other time we will take the other things that go with it. You know, so we'll just stop at this point. This we have seen the three dimensions of the ark. We've talked about the cherubims, you know, along, so you know what it is, you know, in terms of ministry of the cherubim. It's the place of union of man and God. In fact, there was a voice that was speaking to Moses from between the wings of the cherubim. So the place of fellowship, he could hear God talk to him directly, you know. So as God begins to restore this temple, we will hear the voice of God speaking to us from within. You will hear a voice telling you this is the way to go and all that, you know. So it's a place of union, marriage, restoration of life, fellowship. Everything is coming together. That cloud, say that we shall meet him in the cloud. That's the cloud between the wings of the cherubim. God doesn't dwell anywhere else but between the wings, and we are that cherubim in whom he will dwell. So eternity is going to be born forth in us, because if God comes, that means eternity comes into you. The third heaven comes into you. Light comes. Glory comes. Everything is coming within this soul of man. You know, so there's a new race of men that are coming forth on the earth. And, you know, it's a, you know, our ambition should be that we'll be part of that that group of men. You know, so that is the invitation. The vision is very clear. You know, all the practical points are the mind. There is darkness in the mind. The will of God, the temple, the everything must also be established in this. So there's a contest over the mind, and we have to determine that my mind will be given over to God. You know, and there are practical things we have to do, which we have discussed variously, that can bring us into that experience. You know, praise God. So I think we will draw the curtain here. I don't know if there are questions. We can take the questions. Yes.
Yesterday we talked about Jesus Christ, who has lived on the earth, and he overcame all the temptations. When you're trying to read this now, can't it be argued that because Jesus Christ was predestined before the foundation of the world to be the Savior, so he was given special grace to overcome stuff? And that's it, because Jesus, you know what I mean? I can't see an argument that comes from him.
Okay, so let's follow the argument now. Okay, so somebody will come and say, well, Jesus overcame because he was Jesus. That's what they're saying. So, and because he was Jesus,
God.
And because he's Jesus and God, he overcame. So let's go back now. So, what does the scripture say? He was tempted. Do you tempt something that doesn't have the ability to fall? So, was there the possibility that you would have fallen? Why would the devil come and waste time with him if there was no possibility of his fall?
Well, you know, again, that's the tone. And because, you know, that came yesterday and we talked about it, and, you know, we said that his spirit was, his soul was perfect, right? The soul is perfect. I mean,
No, his body. His body was subject to death.
If the soul is perfect, the body has no, because the soul is an overcast on the body.
No.
Can we take it from Adam's perspective? Do you understand?
Okay.
Because, you know, the Bible said that Jesus was the second Adam. Is that correct?
Yes. Go on. What was it?
Last Adam, not the second Adam.
The scripture says the second Adam, and also says the last Adam.
Okay.
There are different scriptures that describe that.
The point is, Adam was also created. Mm-hmm. You understand? And a soul that was also suffering. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we, from Adam at least, we can understand that there were two trees. Okay? Each of those trees represented a potential and a capacity. In other words, Adam could be spiritual. Do you understand? And he could also choose to be carnal. Do you understand the point?
Yeah.
Are we together? The garden was the soul. I need to understand that, right?
Mm-hmm. The
garden.
Let's read Hebrews.
Okay.
Let's read Hebrews. You know, you see, the argument is that's where the ultimate reconciliation people come. You know, you see, there was a potential that Jesus could have sent. That's why he was. So the fact that he had fullness in his soul is different. It did not affect it. The fact that the soul was mortal means there was a delimiting. There was a possibility that he could go into death.
To him that overcome it, just like I overcame. You understand the point?
Let's read Hebrews.
Yeah.
Let's read Hebrews. That's a Bible said that though he was a son, learnt he obedience by the things he suffered. Let's read it. Hebrews 5 says, So for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifice for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmities, and by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taking this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he said, as he says also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, where he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he fed. Though he were a son, yet learnt he obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect. He wasn't perfect in that sense before the temptations. It's, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
My point, and I think that's where it strikes it there for me, because he's God, can't take anything away from that. He's one of the Godhead. But you know, the whole essence of the trip down here was to demonstrate how man can break through that partition. So if he had that special aspect of him, it's like keeping one mile 100 miles and the other will say start from mile one and to run the same kind of race. I don't think that's my thinking. It's something that I believe that the light of it will continue to come up for us as we go into it. I believe that what happened was, Jesus had to come in the form of man. The only thing that happened, he didn't come in natural birth like we had, where conception from man and woman was holy conception. But I believe that he had to, pass through the segments. Because that was the way to demonstrate to us that there is this thing can be achieved. And he said, that's the way I see it.
No.
As you read now, that he was made perfect. I can identify with that. Because the things that he suffered, all of those things put together, and that's what you've been teaching all from Thursday, is what actually worked all those, purpose, those purification. All of that in him and made him perfect. And so, that's why I look at myself now. I said, "Oh, okay." In that walk, there is hope. Because I can break through. Because he showed that he didn't take anything from him. He's the Son of God. That's what he did. But they say even it seemed robbing, you know, to be to call us, you know, his brethren as well. So I see that, and again, I don't have a full picture of it, but that's what I tend to see that. I don't know that he had, I mean, his whole, you know, was completely, like I said, perfect, you know, until he got to the cross.
The point is that aspect is so minute and it's inconsequential. That is, you know, because you see, it's like splitting hairs to see whether his soul was perfect until he got to the cross. The point was that he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. That is what is given to us, and that is the essential point. And that even though he was a son, yet he was perfected by the things he suffered. In other words, the Spirit of God came into a human flesh and began to manifest. And that fullness of God went from his spirit to his soul and to his body. Alright? And when he resurrected, his body came into a higher glory. You know? So, the final thing is that he overcame as a man. And the question you're asking, that somebody, so you cannot say because Jesus was God, that's why he overcame. No. He overcame the devil as a man. Pilate says, I find no fault in this God. Is what he said? Say, I find no fault, what? In this man. It was a man that faced the devil, like you and me. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 2, say that he took on flesh and blood, that he might be, you know, he might have the same feeling of our infirmities. You understand? So he has the same feelings. The man asking you that question, Jesus was at the same level as him. And because Jesus overcame the devil, that man must overcome. So he did not overcome as God. He overcame the devil. And that's what the Bible says. Any spirit that says Jesus did not come in the flesh, it's Antichrist. And that is what that thing is saying, that he didn't come as, that he didn't come in the flesh. He came as God. You understand? So what you are saying is that, because what that thing means is that you cannot overcome the devil. So it's an excuse for sin. I can continue to live in sin because, you know, so it's very clear that he came as a man and he overcame as a man, you know, and the glory of God was in his spirit, in his body. And there are different aspects in terms of the technicality, as you say. It's like before he went to the cross, was it? Those for me are splitting hairs, because the scripture doesn't give me that very, very clear. So why do I want to waste my time there? The ones that are clear that this man, the man that stood before Pilate, was what? A man. So I find no fault in this man. It was flesh. You understand? And that man, he said, I lay down my body. Okay, and I take it up again. And he took it. So they searched him thoroughly. And the Pilate said, I find no fault. The Jews found no fault. And he was accepted as a lamb. So he was a perfect lamb that, you know, that went through. So those who bring that argument, it cannot stand. Look at it. It says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the, I'm reading Hebrews chapter 2:16, for he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. You know, like you're saying, you can identify with him because he identified with us, you know, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted. You understand? He is able also to succor them that are. So if he couldn't sin, why would you tempt a man that couldn't sin? You get the point. So he could have been sinned. You know, the devil came, spent 40 days tempting him. You know, and after he went away, he would have said, no, God, why are you giving me this? The result is already determined. And by the way, there was another man that the devil couldn't break.
Job.
No. No. He said, go and have him. He did everything. At the end, Job overcame, and God restored him. So even Job, he couldn't break Job, how much more Jesus? You understand? So the scriptures are very clear that a man faced him hands down without the Holy Ghost, without the blood, without what you know, without Jesus, he broke the devil hands down. And then when Jesus came, he defeated the same victory over him. Even Moses got the victory over the devil. You know, what's his name? Elijah did, he broke through. Enoch did, he broke through. So there are many that have broken through which are not recorded. You understand? There are many that have overcome death and they have gone and they are coming back again. You know, so the issue that we're raising about him is just a pattern that Christ had the fullness in his spirit, in his body, and so it's a pattern. And it's that pattern we're saying that, you know, you can see that is the pattern in which God is dealing with us, you know, that he has forced us to, you know, to walk in. And as a child, and as a little young man, and as a full grown man at 30 years, you can see that transition. When he was a child, obviously, did he know everything? As a little child, did he know everything? He went to the temple, he was asking questions. You understand? He was interacting with them. And the revelation of Christ was growing on him every day.
That's right.
You understand? So when he was 30, he was a fully grown, matured man. Then he could go into ministry.
When he was 12, he marveled the PhD.
Of course, then he marveled them. He marveled them. And the professors. You understand? You know? So he was, you know, there were scriptures. He was discussing the scriptures with them. And as he was talking with them, the answers would be coming to him. You know? So the point is that, you see, those things are not open to us. So.
Use the example of Job. You know, remember that Satan was saying that because God has built an edge around him.
Yes.
So what's that edge now?
We mean now.
Yes.
My brother, he go opens the eye. If you see the number of angels in this compound. Jesus. Do you understand? If God ever opens the eye to see the number of angels in your compound, you see Jesus. Only for one man. Do you understand? So leave that. It's just that our eyes, like I told you about your heart, you are not aware until you do exercise. That's when you know your heart is beating. You understand? So only when it becomes necessary, God just shows you something. He said, is it like that? The man was there. He was shouting, "Oh my Lord, look at so many people that have come to arrest you." He said, "Oh Lord, open his eyes." He said, "My God, hallelujah." And the son saw, he saw the mountain filled with
angels.
Hallelujah. Say, "My Lord, let's go and finish." He said, "Slow down." You understand? So it's, that is there. There are so many things. So, brother, there is a hedge around you. And but you see, God will not show you. Because if he shows you, you will say, "I'm ready to go." You know? You see that those who, there are some people who refuse, when they see the glory of God, they say, "God, I'm not coming back. I'm going."
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, "I'm ready to be offered."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's better for me to go than to stay. But, however, because of you, the brethren, I will stay. You know what he said? He was not afraid to die. He said he knew where he was going to. He said, "I have finished my course. They have laid up for me a crown of life. It is better that I go and be with the Lord, you know, and than to be absent. But for your own sake, it's better to be absent with the Lord and to be present with you." You know, so that tells you dominion. You know, dominion and authority. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please. Ibele, you're not saying anything, no. You are part of this answering thing.
You know this word.
Yes.
Time.
Really.
And I'm just wondering, you know, it's easy to preach to an unbeliever to take it on
him. Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to a believer, you know, who is the so caught up in Pentecost. To say, you know, to speak this thing.
To.
Who is, you know, a good Christian.
Uh-huh.
Without, I don't know, somehow I think a person has to see it and seek it by themselves. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're surrounded with all these people caught up in all of this, and sometimes you just want to, you know, you could say something to them. And you know, share this. I'm just wondering, how do you share this?
Well, across the table has the answer. Yes.
I can tell you from personal experience that you need an opening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely need an opening. It's not, you know, that's a long castle.
Oh,
of course. Or swine.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that, you know, there are things you cannot do except God, you understand, open. So we must be sensitive.
That's right.
You understand, to know that. And also to know how much you can give somebody at a particular time. It's not something you can compel somebody. You understand? Like people stand and say, repent or
perish.
Perish. You understand the point? It's all a question of how much hope the Spirit gives. How much he allows you at that point in time, you drop with the person. And trust also that the Spirit of God, because this thing is not an intellectual thing. Only the Lord can open somebody's eyes to, you understand, see a thing. So for each time, like I relate to people, there are people I stay with, and I can't even make a step.
Mm.
You understand the point? They are not just hungry. They are not. There are some people who are satisfied with religion, and the Bible says that those who are filled, he takes away, you know, empty.
Hmm.
I don't need to get that. Those are people who are so self-satisfied that if you to do that, we just enter into striving and argument. It's not. There's no need. You understand? So sometimes, even for a person, we can pray for somebody. Lord, give me an opportunity. Open a door. You understand? Without an open door, you can't have access. You understand?
Uh-huh.
You know, so sometimes, the door allows you to see the world to grow. Sometimes, I find that people now come. After you stay with somebody for a while, sometimes you pray for the person. When did the person just come? That means that, you understand? Rather than an open door, you understand? And then you meet the person. And also, watch your spirit. You know, because the Lord tells you how much, you understand, somebody can. You know, there's a lot of, you know, the living of the spirit about this thing. You're not under any, how would I say it now, religious obligation, you know, to, you know, it's just as the Lord keeps giving you opportunity, you know, to bring it, you know. And sometimes people come ask questions, sometimes people come, you know. So I just find out that it, as much as the Lord opens the door, to that extent you can, you understand, share with the person. Mm-hmm. There are people who don't just, they are full of their religious stuff.
The wine is
too strong. Are full of, you know, Judge Warner wrote a book, Feast of Tabernacles. You understand? 1951.
One.
Okay? He said when he wrote that book, the flavor of the Assyrian Spirit Bible was still booming. That visitation. So there were miracles, there were manifestations, there were, you know, all kinds of things happening. You know, so nobody was interested. That book lay on the shelf, unpublished for 3 years or so. 3 years or 4 years. Then it was when the effect of that revival began to dry out. You know, then people began to gather again to hear, you understand, what is God saying? That was when that book was now, you know, published. And that was when it could, you understand, minister to people who want to hear what is God saying. You know, Pentecost, one of the challenges is that people are distracted by manifestations. Do you understand the point? That means, you know, people want miracles, signs and wonders and all that. Not that they are bad. But see, in God, there is an order. And for us, God is preparing us for something. We all need to know that. You know, so if you see a man who is hungry for God, there is an openness. Do you understand the point? If there is not an openness, don't bother. Okay, you will just generate contention that you don't even need. You are getting the point. So it is important that that sensitivity is vital in this thing, that something is almost good. You know, sometimes,
well, you know, I maybe in a way, I don't think we can be mechanic about, I mean, overseeing about this issue. The first question: how do we even get into this world?
We didn't.
I wasn't born in this world.
I look at myself,
yeah,
and I'll say, look, that person himself, I mean, himself, there must be
hunger. Yes. If there's a hunger, this thing will find you, brother.
We can't
castrate you, look for what you're doing. Yeah. No. So, this thing will find you. And it's like the man that goes around and throw the seed. It's not all of them that are going to bring the fruit to me in that. But when there's a longing, see, just as the day of his power, the people will be willing. This thing somehow will find people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a person, I can give him my own. I stayed in the same room. I was meeting a guy that was in this world every day, but he never wanted to share it with me. Bimbo, he never ever shared it with me. You know, we would talk and he never shared it with me, but I looked at his lifestyle was different, you know. But I knew that I had to go to him, and I talk about my experience. For 8 months, I didn't go to church, you know, because I found out everything was upside down. And we don't want to go into those details, but I said that somehow this world will find you.
Yeah.
You know, all God is looking for is the people that have yearning for him.
Yeah.
And see, the people will really say that, when we say Christians, I mean, good Christians out there, yeah. You know, but George said something when he came there last time. He said there are people even in the Catholic setting that are going to be saved. You know, but they're not going to remain there and be saved. But this is what will find them, you know, to those places. You know, so for me, once in my office, anywhere, once in a while, I've seen people come back to me and ask questions. You know, and I've seen people come to ask questions because they want to know, and I've seen people come to ask questions because they want to actually bring for
an argument.
God, we are not even part of that. That time, that one has passed. We have where we are going to. You know, but really, we can't, you know, technically try to look for a way of saying we have to move this thing forward. Let's just love the Lord. Let's just, you know, give it out as anywhere we have the opportunity to. You know, it will fall in the places that it has to fall to bring forth from brethren.
There's a scripture that says, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And that's what Proverbs said. So if a man is not hungry, forget it. He's like, talk from here to Abba, come back. He doesn't want to hear Jesus at Pentecost. Do you know that Brussels came to this country in 1985, summer? That year, a few months after, one of my friends brought pattern to me. I said, which mystic book is this? I said, Pastor, I beg you, take this book. I don't want to see this book. I beg you, go. He will say, Babylon, Babylon, wine of Babylon. I said, what is wine of Babylon? Babylon, wine of Babylon. I said, Pastor, I beg you, leave all this. Let me just stay with my faith that I do. Do you understand what I'm saying?
And we have all been in that condition.
Yes, sir. 3 months later, by January, the man in Brussels came to Uniport, and I was on the front row. The man, the first sentence he made, all my religion was in tatters. He stood up. The first thing he stood up was, he hit his hand on the table and said, the church is a funny institution. I was an usher at the gate, bringing people in. I turned back and said, who is this man that has authority to say the church is a funny institution? And within 1 hour, all that, you need to know who I was, because then I my head, I was in the cloud. My head was in the cloud. I mean, I knew everything. The church is a funny institution. Tall rapture, he became with a woman, did this. Oh my God. After 1 hour, it was bloody. Everybody was bleeding. Everything we built was completely destroyed. Within 1 hour, finished. And I was not hungry for that book. I last saw that book and I began to read it. But 3 months ago, they gave me the book. I said, what's this mystic? I saw bed. I saw all these things. I said, what? I said, Basti, what are you showing me? I said, I'll take this thing, come on. So, sister, don't worry. Just pray. Let the man be hungry. If he's hungry, he will eat everything. Those days, we say 4 or 5 hours reading through the night, reading these books, listening to tape.
And I think we have not even
I'll pass this one. You see, there's a brother that takes me to work every time. So I read newspaper in his car. So just one day I saw something like that. He said, time to laugh. That the church was advertising time to laugh. They are inviting a comedian into the church. So it's time to laugh.
No, hold on. You are going so fast.
It's not
there. You are going so fast.
I don't want to take the picture. So
no, it says they are bringing who into the church?
Comedian into the church.
That's
the thing of the program.
It's Christian comedy.
Time to laugh.
So
I know. So all of us in the same country, because we are doing the. Let's go ahead.
Every time I see something like that, I will take a picture, because I want to come and show my wife at home that, hey, see what I'm seeing today. So this brother has always asked me, what's that? You've been watching that. When I see something like that, I'll take the picture because I don't have the newspaper. Now bring it home, you know. And then I started, and a very simple question I asked him was that, look, in this, where is Jesus? He said, what do I mean that where is Jesus? I said, yes, now, so where is Jesus in this comedian, that one I saw was, even the very one that started asking me that question that he took me on was, there was a conference of, they said, leadership, church growth, leadership, and, you know, business challenges and all that, in the church conference. But it was something like leadership, business, expertise or something. And I'm saying, this is a church conference. Where is Jesus in all this? He said, what do I mean? So he said, leadership, I mean, teach you leadership quality. He said, in the church? And just a very simple question, where is Jesus in that leadership? Oh, so, what do I mean? I said, okay, so when you get all these leadership and qualities, what are you going to do today? Is that your qualification to kingdom of God coming in you? Is that what will harm you that will make Jesus happy? And we start asking questions, what do I mean and all that? And we just got talking. You won't believe that. Maybe 2 weeks later, he said something. He said, do you know that? That's what I was telling my wife. That this thing that these people are doing.
Where is Jesus in it?
And you know, I came back home and I said, look at what this man is telling me today. You know, I mean, it was something like that was in his mind that was also making him to ask questions that, okay, indeed, where is Jesus in all these things? And that's why I say that for me, when there is an hunger, when the hunger is there,
you know, you're finding.
There's no way. I mean, look at us too, our own, deep in very religious circles and all that, and we're praying that God will take us to one big country, you know, where we love. Well, the one I love.
No, let's declare. No, we're not mentioning the country. Yeah, but go ahead, sir.
And then God said, no, guys, and took us to Gamba.
They don't know where Gamba is. It's like
forest. I always say that's
like
the big forest, the Atlantic Ocean. That's Gamba. And he took us there and was there in the middle of the forest, you know, that this force started coming.
So you can imagine where God, he left from Nigeria, where everything was.
Yeah.
The one bush there.
And it was very, very clear because it was noise.
Exactly.
It was completely
cut off.
Religion cut off.
Yeah.
And so the word will come, you know, expressly. And I will say that, look, if it were to be in another place, perhaps it will come, but maybe it will take longer.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, when we are coming back, maybe this was May, last year May, we are already around. If you ask me January, last year, I've shared this with you, but if you ask me January of last year, 2012, that at a time like this in Nigeria, we'll be gathered, like here, fellowshipping, is this word? I'll tell you, no. It's not something that I'm looking for. I had lined up interviews for jobs in Australia, job in Dubai, job in Canada, and I was not even
thinking. Okay, Go ahead.
So, when we started fellowship, I was not saying, okay, God, so all these things, this is what you have been looking at. And me, I was busy saying, okay, from Australia, when I come from Australia, I go to Middle East, go to Kazakhstan, you know, and all that. That's the point. It was something I believed that God was saying. That there is a yearning.
As I.
Second nation. Praise God. And so this, even this gathering today is a testimony to that.
Yeah.
And that's the way I say that. Look, for that heart to desire for.
Oh my God. But let me give you guys a testimony as well. I mean, I've shared in this house before. I mean, okay, there was a young lady I chased very much in this world. Because I thought that she loved the Lord, you know. Me, I tried to first of all find out, it's not about you go to church, do you really love the Lord? And I've seen people that really love the Lord. And I chased her with this one, and I kept trying to walk. I mean, I chased her, she was coming, even sometimes it looked like she was convinced, but it's like moving from security to insecurity, she, you know, this thing that she knows, and she was like almost a stand pastor in a church, let me put it that way, you know, she was lead person in the church. But at one point, she left, and joined the Canada. And I've shared it to you that I got a call one of those days, and I was on the phone for over 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours. I'm not very much like me, but I know I'm not quiet for that long, I'm not that good. And I couldn't say anything, I was stunned. You know, after you finished talking to me, I had to ask her, where do you go to? And I asked her, what books have you been reading? She has not been, she's been stunned, and she's inside her house, can't go anywhere, you know. And God, I was trying to establish if she has met some of these other people. She has not. But, you know, God, you know, met her there because she had a longing. I'll tell you, God can do it in so many ways. You know, she had a longing, and as opened up scripture, from this has become clearer, and then she now saw that it was even dangerous to even go out to that church. And what did she do is, I mean, she had affinity for young people. She and my father said, would work, you know, she started, you know, bringing young people, because I want people to come to the house, you know, share these things with. But at the end, I found that she's telling me about the tabernacle. And as I speak with you now, I still don't know where she's headed. So that for me was it mellowed me completely. I said, you don't chase this thing, forget about it. Just, and you can tell that you can also see that all those things you heard is not even part of this thing. You know, we talked about it. Oh, people come out here and they go and they, you know, think about it. We like security. Everybody wants security. You want to be sure of what you're in. You know, so how would you see a book and they draw a bed and you want to go to the account at this time where there's a deception is everywhere? You know, you want to be careful. But again, like I said, if you're a lover of Jesus, you know, this thing will find you. But I know that one. I don't even bother about it any longer. You know, and we don't even know who that are in this thing. We think we know. It's not just our this thing. We don't even know them. They are everywhere in North Carolina. People that we don't even know, but they are feasting in this same world, in this same open, in this same light. You know, and God is planting, you know, around everywhere like that. So you know, just that, you know, if you meet them, just, you know, share with them as God gives you liberty. Don't worry too much about what happens after them. They want to fight them. You know, and you'll come to knowledge of that too.
Yeah, the other thing I also wanted to say is, one is that going what Brother Bella said, that we need to be careful and discerning.
That's right.
Around with people.
That's right.
At least for the fact that you don't know at what level God is dealing that person. Maybe the person is still completely outside in the darkness, not even thinking about God to start with. So the person is not even a Christian and he doesn't want to be a Christian, but God is after that soul.
Yeah.
You understand? So to be able to discern and know at what level the Spirit may allow you to drop the word, it doesn't have to be so much, but maybe a phrase, a sentence or whatever, you drop it and the Lord can use that. I think you gave an analogy yesterday, or was it a better thing? To break a stone is not the last.
Yeah.
The last stripe on the stone that breaks it. But you know, if you keep doing it like this and keep just hitting on it and hitting on it, it's not that last one that's broken. But all those strokes that you have been hitting on the stone are all contributing. So we don't know what level that person is on God. You just will come and drop, you know, the Apollos and Paul and Christ. Mm-hmm. When you're saying Apollos planted.
Paul planted, Apollos watered.
And
God yeah, gives increase.
And all that. So we don't know what level people are. The second thing I wanted to say is, if you look at, for instance, let me say like Ebele and Brachidiokina, I am sure that there is tremendous amount of work that they have put in for God to grant them this blessing. So for us, we need to, like what Paul was telling Timothy, study to show yourself.
There's a place. as a place for them.
Mm-hmm. And there is also a place where Peter admonished us to be in a position to give an answer to anybody.
That's right.
So as we are taking all these things in and jotting down these critical points, for us to now
go back. That's right.
And make it part of us, so that when we discuss it, it is not from the head; it becomes experiential.
That's right.
Flows from the heart, because there is a tendency which I have also seen in the body of where you see some ministrations and it's coming from here. And when it comes from here, it doesn't change the life.
That's right.
It can be so brilliant and fantastic and excellent, but it still ends here.
That's right. That's right, sir.
So as we study it and become one with it, you don't even need to do an expository seminar.
That's right.
To reveal, for God to use and reveal something to us. So
that's right.
It's working in you.
That's right.
A living testament to us. And when it comes out, it changes and confirms. But the point is for us to study this more and more, so that anywhere we are, if there is a reason to share it, we are prepared. We are assured with the preparation of the gospel of peace on our feet. You know, like that what Paul was saying, one of his epistles. Yeah, so that's the 2 points. It's really clear for us to be discerning and be clear about what God is doing, what God is doing.
A workman that needs not to be ashamed.
Rightly dividing
the word.
Let me just say something that is not scripture. Praise the Lord. You know, when we're talking like this, and there are a few things that people are dropping in my heart. If I tend to this assembly, and I would like to say, you know, the Lord is laying the foundation here for something, and it's something big. And you are here at that foundation. Now we're talking about preparation. You know, you will not be listening to God. You understand? It's not that God is maybe looking for crowd or anything. But when God wants to do a thing, He begins to make some preparations. You know, Jesus called 12 disciples and He began to call them to stay near Him. You know, He said that He called them that they should be with Him, that He might send them out to preach. And He began to impart Himself to them. He was laying a foundation for things to, you know, come. And I see that foundation being laid here. And there's a need to know, be conscious among yourselves here, that there's a need, the foundation, a corporate and individual, you understand, the home, that foundation being laid. Sooner or later, somebody will teach in tabernacle here. Do you understand the point? Out from this place. And of course, the first teaching on tabernacle I had, it was a ship that I preached it. I was in Enugu. Do you understand? I was in Enugu. That was 1989. You know, I don't know if you remember. But I had a diary. So I was teaching tabernacle, I was drawing. In fact, everything he said that I copied it verbatim. I read it and memorized it. Do you understand? The first time I had time to talk about tabernacle, it was from that particular. Eventually, my sister took that book. She stole it from me. Then later, one of my sisters stole it from me. Do you understand the point? You know, but from that point, you know, for the first time, it was like somebody articulated that teaching on the tabernacle. You know, and from there, the very fabrics, you understand, the skeletal, you know, form of my understanding of tabernacle emanated from that point. And I took it up from there. You know, and it's going to be a little more difficult for you. For us, maybe we had a little more time. Some we started maybe students or youth corps, you understand? Or we just started work. So we had a little more time. We're not married. You understand? We're not married. But we spent time with the scriptures, like we say. Online. So sometimes we just stood up listening to message all through the night. Reading Bible, reading books. You know, it was like then, now I see it as a foundation. Do you understand? For years to come. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to say that there's room with every ministry, even Jesus, when he was started ministry, there was a foundation that was laid. So you need to see as you stay, you need to have that perspective that God is laying a foundation. A foundation that is being laid right now. So you may not increase so much right now, but maximize it.
this period uses to forge a bond, both personal bond, you understand, and a spiritual bond, because it will serve you in time to come.
Yeah.
And these things you see here, they are investments being made, you know, and how you handle it, what you do with it. You know, people hear this and they say to me, but they go home. But when you know that God has called you, and for, I see everybody here as called with the capacity and the potential. But you see, how far you go in the ministry depends on what you do. Do you understand? With the potential that you have. You need to decide for yourself that, you know, there might be a man demanding of my own potential within me. And brethren, you see what the Lord will do. Do you understand the point? What is now is the fruit of years of hard work. Believe me, it will cost you. Do you understand the point? You need to, for both of those things, to spend some time seeking the Lord. And then when He begins to open this thing to you, you will marvel. You know, I just want to encourage you, because there's a movement. What we're talking about today, about the Lord, the people to whom you were sent, did not prove themselves worthy. And suddenly the Lord said, okay, move out to the corner. Do you understand the point? God is about to reach back into the church system. And you guys are going to be the instrument for it. You know, so it's important that we construct it and pray that God will help us.
Always we have never been.